If you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to keep your Bible open, we'll also be spending some time in John 21 this morning. Matthew 4 and John 21. And if you are a fervent lectionary follower, you will notice that I'm swaying from the gospel this week, in that the gospel this week in the lectionary was Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15, but it did include Mark's abbreviated tipping of the hat to this fact that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. And the Matthew text just expands that, and so that's why I've suggested that we read together the Matthew text this morning. John 21 is the other text that we'll be spending time in, verses 15 to 19. And so let's read that together as we keep on moving forward. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." I've been talking about Lent this morning, and some of us are engaging in Lent, and others of us are considering that discipline of Lent for 40 days. And as I've already said, Lent is a time of engagement, either embracing something or letting go of something. And even as we've heard this text in Matthew 4 this morning, we read that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. And so the challenge for us is, are we ever led by the Spirit into times of challenge? Probably not in such an intense way as Jesus was in this story in Matthew 4, but Lent is a time for us to move into a place of challenge, a place of embracing or a place of letting go. And perhaps you've heard of the spiritual disciplines, and there's disciplines of abstinence, and there's disciplines of engagement. So Lent is maybe a time of abstinence or engagement. Perhaps, too, it is a time of testing. And so I hope you'll look to this season of Lent as a season of soul care. And I want to spend our time this morning using a book that's very familiar to me and has become familiar to many of you. It's Henry Nouwen's book, In the Name of Jesus, Reflections on Christian Leadership. I know that one of our small groups has been walking through this book over the past several weeks. Pauline Powers and company have been using this as a guide for their weekly studies. I read Nouwen's book at least once a year to keep my soul, my heart, and my mind in check as I attempt to be a Christian following Jesus. And so I don't know, maybe you have a book or an activity that you do once a year to take care of your soul. If you don't, I suggest Nouwen's book. If you have a great book that you read once a year for soul care, I'd love to hear that title. Please share it with me after the service. And what Nouwen does in this book is he has three movements. In each movement, he talks about one of the temptations in Matthew 4. But then he foils that against the reinstatement of Peter by Jesus in John 21. And so what we're going to do is just quickly walk through those three movements. And I'm not going to give it enough time on a morning like this, but perhaps it'll give you a challenge and a taste of the richness of this book and encourage you to further reflect on the temptations, but then also the questions, the tasks, the challenges that Jesus invites us to, and then the discipline that he challenges us to consider as we try to live in the midst of temptations. So the first temptation is this: to be relevant. Jesus is challenged in the desert to turn stones into bread. And relevance here, sometimes it's hard to clarify relevance, but what Nouwen's trying to say by being relevant is saying we're so tempted for us as humans to do or to show or to prove or to build in our own strength. To turn stones into bread, to make things happen. And if I as a Christian am happening enough for you or engaging or savvy enough, perhaps you'll want to be a Christian too. But do we really believe in our irrelevance? That perhaps we're not supposed to fit in? That perhaps we are this alternative society as the people of God? We try so hard, we have so much, and yet, as Nouwen quotes, loneliness, lack of friendships and intimacy, broken relationships, boredom, feeling of emptiness and depression and uselessness pervade our success-oriented world. If we can name this temptation of always being tempted to being relevant, then perhaps we can hear Jesus asking us the question that he asks Peter in John 21. So the temptation to be relevant, but in the midst of that, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus doesn't ask for our relevance. He doesn't ask us to be hip enough or proper enough or smart enough to be his disciples. Instead, he invites us to love him. Nouwen says that knowing the heart of Jesus and loving him are the same thing. The desire to be relevant and successful will gradually disappear, and our only desire will be to say with our whole being to our brothers and sisters of the human race, "You are loved. There's no reason to be afraid. In love, God created your inmost self and knit you together in your mother's womb." But how do we cultivate this love? And here in each movement, then Nouwen suggests a discipline. And so in the midst of this first movement, the discipline he suggests is contemplative prayer. He encourages us to be mystics, a people who identify ourselves by being rooted in God's first love. And he says that this means dwelling in God's presence, or listening to God's voice, or looking at God's beauty, or touching God's incarnate word, or tasting fully God's infinite goodness. And as I looked at those disciplines, or what it means to embrace contemplative prayer, I thought, these are great challenges for us during Lent. To dwell, to listen, to look, to touch, to taste. Nouwen goes on to say, when we do this, it's possible for us to be a people who are flexible without being relativistic, a people who are convinced without being rigid, a people who are willing to confront without being offensive, a people who are gentle and forgiving without being soft, a people who are a true witness without being manipulative. I think, wow, wouldn't that be great if we were the people of God, known as those kind of people? To move from the moral to the mystical. To be a people who cultivate this discipline of dwelling, listening, tasting, touching, and looking. So that's the first movement, just quickly, is the temptation to be relevant. In the midst of that temptation, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And then we're encouraged to cultivate this discipline of prayer, listening prayer. The second temptation is a temptation to be spectacular. Throw yourself down, Jesus, and your angels will surely catch you. Jesus is tempted to be spectacular, and in our culture, we're surrounded with lots of temptations to be spectacular, to be that individual who does it all, to be the fabulous bride, or to be the fabulous bachelor, or to be the one who sings his or her way to fame, or the one who's able to face his or her fears. In the midst of that temptation to be spectacular, to be the individual, Jesus commissions Peter to a task. He says, "Feed my sheep." And rather than saying, "Peter, just keep on being the spectacular individual Christian," Jesus says, "Immerse yourself in the community of those who are saying they follow me." One of my favorite gospel songs over the past few years has been one from the movie The Gospel, 2005. Anyone see it? A couple of you? There's this song called "I Need You to Survive," directed by Hezekiah Walker. And the words are, "I pray for you, you pray for me, I love you, I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you, I need you to survive." And Hezekiah goes, "Tell your neighbor, you are important to me." Sing it together. "I need you to survive." I love that song. It's not the typical gospel song that's just up with Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. I love gospel songs. I'm not dissing them. But this deeper story that's going on in that gospel song of, "I love you, I need you to survive, I pray for you, I won't harm you with words from my mouth," that paints it for me. That gets me to that space where Jesus says, "Feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, immerse yourself in the community of my people, through the joy, the sorrow, the mess." But how do we live out the task? That's hard. That's hard. And Nouwen encourages us to take on the discipline of confession and forgiveness. And I think on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, we build that into our liturgy here at First Baptist. And I think that's a gift. When you go to other services in the city, you won't find that same gift. So it's a gift that we try to be intentional about confessing our sins and then saying these words of assurance that you are a forgiven people, that because of Christ, you're forgiven. I think the challenge for us is the other 6 days of the week, to be a people who confess our sins to one another as friends and neighbors, maybe even as enemies, and then to release each other with words of forgiveness saying, "You're forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Confession and forgiveness are the concrete ways that sinful people love one another. So the second movement, it starts with a temptation to be spectacular. It's met with this task where Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And then we're challenged to cultivate this discipline of confession and forgiveness. And even as we approach the table today, maybe that's an intentional time for us or for you personally to confess a sin or to confess a weakness. And then even after service, as you go into this week, maybe if there's a person that you need to reconcile with, asking for that forgiveness and hearing that person release you. The third temptation is this, to be powerful. Satan says, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you bow down to me." Why is power so tempting? Nouwen suggests that power is a substitute for love. It's easier to be God than to love God. It's easier to control people than to love people. And it's easier to own life than to love life. In the midst of this temptation, Jesus, as he talks to Peter and reinstates Peter, he gives Peter a challenge. He says, somebody else will take you. The Christian journey is not about power and control. Instead, it's about powerlessness and humility in which the suffering servant of God, Jesus Christ, is made manifest. Somebody else will take you. But how do we meet this challenge? Nouwen gives us the discipline of theological reflection, he calls it, or I call it theological thinking. Being a people who allow ourselves to live under the story of God's word and know that story good enough to think theologically through what the Holy Spirit is leading us through. Theological thinking allows us to discern where we're being led to, being in touch with God in such a way that because of the story that fills our hearts and our minds and our souls, we can live this life of following Jesus and resist the temptation of being powerful. I think that's the hardest one to maybe give time to on a morning like this. But it really is saying, as you're doing life on a day-to-day basis, moving from what God says in his word, rather from what I say or what culture is telling me. Now, I don't want us to get off the rails and start using phrases that sometimes Christians do to bully each other. And they say, well, God told me to tell you dot, dot, dot. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying for us to be a people who live under the story of what God says to us in the First and Second Testaments. And then because we live under that story, then try to live into that story and be a people who recognize that the Holy Spirit needs to take us, not our own whim or our own wills. So the three movements are there for us in the midst of the three temptations. The temptation to be relevant, the temptation to be spectacular, the temptation to be powerful. And in the midst of that, Jesus says, do you love me? Will you care for my sheep? Will you go places you would rather not go because of my Spirit who leads you? Nouwen finishes the book by saying, I leave you with the image of the leader, the Christian, with outstretched hands, who chooses a life of downward mobility. It's the image of the praying Christian, the vulnerable Christian, and the trusting Christian. May that image fill your hearts with hope, courage, and confidence. As we pray together today and just have a minute of silent prayer, I want us to, as the people of God here for such a time as this at First Baptist Church, listen for God to speak to us. Which of these three movements might most challenge us today? And even as we move through the next weeks of Lent, may we respond to be a people who renew our love for Christ, or be a people who renew our desire to be amongst the people here in this faith community, to be a people who are willing to go places we would rather not go, but are being led by the Spirit in our following of Jesus. So a minute of silence to pray, and then I'll close with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, if we're honest with ourselves, we will spend the rest of our lives trying to live out these three movements. But for now, help us to look and see and feel your abiding presence with us. As we face temptations, cultivate in us a desire to pursue disciplines that will help us to love, that will help us to care, that will help us allow ourselves to be led. And as we move towards our time at the communion table, let this be a time where our lives are taken by you, broken, blessed, and then put back into service for others. We pray this for your glory. Amen.